God bless you. This Tuesday afternoon, Brother Freedom and I, we just got through reading some email from some of you wonderful people. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for your prayer requests. We are not in ourselves the answer, but God is the answer. And we're just believing with you, wonderful people. We're believing that God's going to anoint Brother Freedom this afternoon. He doesn't know what direction things are going to go exactly, but God knows. And we're never saddened. We're never dismayed because the Lord, He takes us through. Father, we just thank you. Lord, you're so good. You're so wonderful. We just enjoyed that wonderful message that you gave Brother Freedom on Sunday, and we're going to put it up for the folks. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful goodness today in blessing all of us and those listeners. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness. Father, we thank you for your almighty power, your mighty hand that we feel here this day, in your presence. Oh, Lord, in your presence, fullness and joy, right hand, pleasures evermore. Lord, we thank you for thy anointing. We thank you for thy strength. We thank you that you're real. Father, we just praise you. I just pray that this sermon will be to you more than anyone else. That's going to a lot of people, but I want you to do the work for this message. I praise you this day. I love you this day, Father. Thank you for our inheritance that fades not away, reserved in heaven for the child of God. We thank you for this wonderful day. What a privilege it is to know, oh, to have a gift of eternal life. We thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. The Lord wants us to please. Did you ever work someplace that you wanted to please your boss? You know, I thought about that. If God was working on a job, and really who I had to please was my boss. Because I've been around the work of, they wouldn't want to have to please. They had to please the customer, but my boss was really the if you please the customer, the boss was happy. And it's the same way it is spiritually. We must learn to please our Heavenly Father, that you might walk worthy in the Lord and the all-pleasing. All-pleasing. Make Him happy. Pleasing, there's a lot of things. Being on time, doing your job right. That's the natural. But the spiritual, it's a little more than that. God wants us to have first of all, a sympathetic heart, having compassion on those around about us. And I don't believe that can happen unless we have a heart of love. It all stems from a heart of love. If we really love God, it's easy for us to want to please Him. Now, if we're not serious about loving God, and we just sort of living a half cool, a half warm life, we're not going to really please Him. And we don't have the stamina, the power within us to even to take the place of trying to get to praise God, to love God. Pleasing is something that does more than just, it's from the heart. It's actually from our mouth. Many times the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our Heavenly Father wants us to form words to Him. By our words we're justified, or by our words we're condemned. The Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I believe that our mouth is a tool that we use for the Lord. Now, if we have a heart that's got gray area, it's going to come out sort of tainted in our heart. If we're living in unbelief, it's going to show up. We're lukewarm, it's going to show up. Lukewarm is a place of compromise. It's a place of undecision. And we need to be fully persuaded, like Apostle Paul says, I'm fully persuaded that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. We need to be persuaded in our heart that we're going to go all the way. All the way my Savior leads me, all the way I'm going to follow Him, I'm going to walk with Him, I'm going to do His will. But this pleasing has really got a hold of me, because when I was married, I loved to make my wife feel good. And how I make her feel good is I pleased her. And I think all of you can understand that. When you please someone, and truly if they're any person at all, they're going to respond back, I appreciate that, because you're pleasing them. You're showing, it's special. And our work for the Lord should be special. It should be directed to Him. What we do to others in a eternal way is to Him. You say, well, I'll get out here and do this. Bible says a cup of water, He'll give us a reward for it. We give that cup of water just to anyone in the name of the Lord. It does not go forgotten. But our working for the Lord shouldn't be for rewards. It should be for loving Him. Now we can get this all, I'm going to serve the Lord because I'm going to get a reward in heaven. You'll get a reward, but your love getting it is a different way. If you're doing it because you love the Lord. If you exchange gifts and Christmas, a lot of people do. You give a gift out because someone's going to give you. That's not the reason. You're supposed to give that gift out if they don't give you none back. And that's the way it is. God wants us the same way in our closeness to Him. We do it because we love Him. We praise Him because He's our all. We should have it in our heart. We should settle in our heart that He is my everything. He is my leader. He's my way maker. He's the one that loves me more than anybody else in this whole realm. There's no one that loves our heart like God does. We need to get that in our heart today that He loves us above everything. And He wants us to succeed in everything. He wants us to, as He leads us, He wants us to be wise in the Lord. And we need to be actually dependent on the Lord. We need to walk faithfully with Him. I was in the work field many years, and I know there's a lot of people that I've run across really didn't work because they loved to work. They just did it because their paycheck. But God doesn't want us just for a paycheck. God wants us to love Him. Seek Him first in His kingdom. Then all these other things shall be added unto you. God is just not something that we can, there's nothing that we can describe how wonderful. It's not like a thing. It's not it. It's not like Joe, Jack, Mary, Jim, come and see that. He is the one that made us. And if He made us, we have to get in our heart finally that He is the one that we must love. Why shouldn't I love Him? He made me. He made me in His image, in His likeness. He gave me the ability to think, to compare. And I believe that's in comparing us to choose Him. But after that, men, we're supposed to trust God in all of our ways. All put Him first. We don't have to compare no longer. We've already found what we're looking for. We're just looking for something when we found Jesus. But after we found Him, there's no substitute. There is no substitute out. There's nothing out there. Nothing is to compare with what you, this wonderful blessing that sent you. The being of having the Spirit of God live in your heart. I can tell you testimonies how that He has been by my side and I've seen great and mighty things, and that's just wonderful, but there's no way for me to express that goodness. Like I was telling my brother the other day, I had some trees and I used to walk a lot to get away from the house a little bit, hour or so a day when my wife was real sick. And she'd tell me she could make it until I got back. And so when I'd walk, the Lord would come down and sort of walk with me. And I was talking to Him about some of these trees that had grown up in my backyard. You know, just think about it. God is a real, real being. What I'm saying, He's more faithful. I don't know any man, any woman that's faithful like God is. He never fails. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, He's proved Himself to me. So I was talking about these trees that grew through the power line. Now I had three sets of power lines, the electric lines, then I had a telephone line, and then I had a cable line below that. I was in trouble all because that had grown up through those lines. There was five trees, and I did not know what to do. And my wife was really on to me about it, and I can't blame her. So the Lord told me, He says, I'll have to get rid of them. You have to put your trust totally in me. So I said, okay, God is always there. But this one time, and I told my wife, I said, well, you know, I said, the Lord's going to help me get those trees out. And finally my wife was very well spoken. That day, the Lord broke my heart and said, I want you to get your chainsaw, get out there and the wind was blowing. I'm not a tree faller, but I know I've been around tree fallers, and you do not fall trees when the wind's blowing because you can't control it. And I told Betty, my wife, I said, I'm going to go out and dive. I'm going to cut those trees. And she says, I'm going to have you. She was really got sort of angry at me. I said, well, do what you want, but I'm going to trust God. And I went out there. I had electric chainsaw, so I didn't have to worry about it starting or stopping. Just make sure it had electricity. And I had everything all rigged up there. And the Lord says, you do your part, and I'll do my part. So all I had to do was just cut. There's about maybe 5 inches through the butt. Anyway, they were getting big. And then the upper limbs went through the lines with branches all pretty good sized little branches. I didn't know what I was going to do with it, but the Lord assured me that He could make a way in that thing. He says, you do your part, and I'll do, I never will forget that. I'll do mine. And that's what life is about. We do our part, and He'll do the rest of it. He don't expect us to do the, to know what. I didn't know anything. I was speechless. Someone come up and ask me, I don't know why. I was trusting God. But see, that's all we have. He wants us to do is just trust Him. So the wind was blowing pretty soon. The wind sort of slacked off, and the Lord says, cut one, the first one. I did. And that tree, I wasn't amazed, but that tree just lifted up about 15 foot, and it rotated, and it came up through there, laid over behind me, and fell on the ground. And the Lord says, how's that? Good. You think you can do the next one? If I call it, cut the next tree, and I says, yeah, I'm going to try, Lord. I says, was that okay? Yeah, just cut them curl off like you did. Just cut them curl off. I didn't have to worry about the saw blade squeezing because when this wind actually would pick them, if it other way, I'd have notched the tree, and then you know, when you do that, then it starts to make the tree fall. I just cut it off. But God lifted that. I thought about that too, how that He lifted the weight off of those, of the chain, where it could saw it off real easy. He did that 5 times straight. And those trees laid on the same, all the trees were together. It was like the Lord put them there. Perfect. And I've seen God move in that same way, but of course you know this pleased my heart real well because my wife was no longer angry with me and I didn't have to worry about getting some people that work on saw cutting trees down. And then me doing that was going to set the power off. We're going to have to do a lot of things. The conventional way. But I want you to know out there, it's the truth. God did it just like that. And it probably didn't take me over 5 minutes. I imagine about a minute to each tree. It was all over with it. Pretty fast way. Now, what if I said, Lord, no, I can't do that? I said, okay then. Okay, Buster. But God wants us to, He makes circumstances for you and me. This, you haven't got a remedy for. You haven't got the answer. If someone's telling you, don't do that, you're going to get in trouble. But you can't let that bother you. If it's God, God will meet the opposition. He'll meet what you're afraid of. You'll be strong in Him, and you'll have a work from heaven, and you'll not be bound by natural tradition. You'll look for the things that are seen, but you'll look for the things that are not seen, but the things that are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. I could tell you time and time again what I'm telling you. Brother Freeman, I've seen God move. I've seen Him come down and a bolt broke off an engine and inside God, with just me flimsy doing it, God did miracles. God's here to use us. I still had to, I cut the tree, but that was getting rid of the hindrance. I remember I went down to a catapult. It was down, and it was in a garbage dump. It would not run. The owners found out that they had a man that prayed. Other men would come down to mechanics, probably better than me, but they couldn't make it run. They came up, finished up a job, and this man came up that night and said, you've got to go down to check our deed out. I said, why do I have to go down there? And they said, because, well, you just got to, please, you got to go. So I said, okay, I'll go. But on the way down, I was in the back of a 210 Cessna plane, and I was praying. The Lord says, get rid of the hindrance, and I'll show you what's the trouble. Well, see on that tree there, that's the hindrance too. That tree had connection between the limb and the roots. What I did is cut loose the bottom section, and the tree was disconnected. But it was the hindrance that God had there for me to overcome. On that V8, when I got down there, I seen what the hindrance was when I drove up. But I seen there was a tire in the right track. Now the tire did not affect that cat bulldozer from running. But I seen it as a hindrance. So I told the owner, I said, gonna have to take that tire out before I'll do anything. Oh, he had some men there with him, and most of them all swear it was pretty bad. I said, nevertheless, I'm not gonna do it till you, I'll just take me back home, or take me back home. And I said, that's fine. I'm not gonna move until we take the tire out from that track. And these men just really come undone. They said, what a call did you get? They told the man's name and said, you know, this guy don't know nothing. See, sometimes God lets us to have an obstacle with us. He's going to test you, see what you're made out of. Now, if I'd have caved in and says, I'm sorry, I could have buttered up these guys, I just made a mistake. No, I had to do it as God said. I'd be strong enough in the Lord to take their guff, take whatever they want to tell me, fine. Think what they want to think of me, fine. I had to be able to stand and not falter, not bending, not swaying with the way of the world. So they got a chain, they pull that tire out, and they said, well, I hope that suits you. And I said, yeah, for starters, that's a good thing. So I climbed up on the right track, and I looked down. As I was up there, the Spirit of God says, put your hand on the transmission oil filter. I did. So I put my hand on the oil filter. The Lord showed me that I had to go to the left final drive. That's curved back down on the left track. And that's not even part of the transmission. But nevertheless, he says, go down and look at inputs at the left final drive. So I knew what he wanted me to do is take a plug wrench, take the fill plug out of it, and check it. And these fellows really talk about, they were really was irate this time. I mean, they said, what kind of call did you get? I mean, we all know more than this guy does. So by that time, I just jumped down, got to hold the cap with my bare hands, and I screwed that plug out by our hand, and I said, here's your trouble. It was a curve full of mud. And what happened, that mud would fill that whole final drive totally up, and it was pushing it in the transmission, and the transmission compartment, and they couldn't see it. It's sin, like sin getting in your life, and it was corrupting the whole system. The dump valve in the pressure control group, a little orifice was plugged. That's all was wrong. And everybody missed it. But the whole machine had to be taken down clean, or the problem would be repeated day in day. You can't live with filth in a machine, and that's the way our lives are. We can't live if there's a filth in us, but God wants to clean us up as that machine had to be torn down and rebuilt again. Well, we have a little temper problem, we got a lust problem, we got anger, all the envy problems, we got to tear down and remove the hidden man and get him out for it's a clean new touch that God wants to put us above. His Spirit rests in us. The anointing, the oil that He fills us up is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We need that rebuilding, the repairing that comes through when we're a mess. And I tell you, many people are like that cat. They're a mess. When we tore that machine down, we had to just totally get that dirt out of that machine. It was terrible. It had packed in there, and it was a heavy clay material, and nobody could find it. But the Holy Spirit knew exactly what. In 5 minutes' time, I went from the filter to the final. Found the trouble. And God showed me the orifice in the pressure control group is on the track. It was plugged exactly like He said. God never makes mistakes. If you work for the Lord, He'll help you. He'll guide you. He'll direct you. He'll give you focus on heaven. Your eyes will lift above the things where you need to have your hope in Him. There's just two examples there. But the trees, the cat, and I can tell you more and more and more. Hundreds. But God wants us in practical everyday life that we might walk worthy in the Lord and the all-pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. God wants to increase the knowledge of God, strengthen with all might and power, accords glorious power and long-suffering with joyfulness. I preached this sermon. We haven't got started, but God wants us to walk pleasing. When we get out of sync, it doesn't happen just there. We're mad at the whole world. We can't get along. We're unhappy. Generally, when those things happen, then we get lustful. We get hateful. We get backbiters, false accusers. All these traits starts coming into us to we're infected and we're a shutdown. We cannot, like that poor old caterpillar, it couldn't run. And you can't run either. The Bible says, lay aside every weight and sin that's so easy to beset you and run that race with patience. This is what's happening in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Spirit of God is not live in your church. That without holiness, no man shall see or please God. God says, we must come out of this world, be separate. We must go up to the Lord unto all pleasing in the way that we'll be an example of blessings. God says, let your light so shine. We can't shine if we have filth in our being. If our orifice is plugged up, where our stamina, our power comes from God. But our stamina, our power has to be in holy context. It's not in a compromised context. Pure faith. Pure above reproach. I know we make mistakes. I'm saying that. But at least we should pray, seek God. When we don't do that, and deliberately say, I'm okay when I've got a problem, where you're sidelined. And you can't do your work. You can't do the work that God's got you to do. You say, what work? I mean, just living life for God's a job. Because if you live where you should be, right where you are, you can have availability when God can say, you say, well, I'm not a pastor. God can use you. I remember one time when I was going down the highway, the Lord said, stop in this auction selling place because there's a lady there that got her hands caught in a door. And I went in there, and sure enough, and I had the opportunity to put a first aid kit on her and tell her about the God. She was just swearing, cursing, all these terrible things. But that God seen that there needed to be somebody there that would have compassion on her. In closing, I'm going to tell you another story. I was working in a shop. This lady, she'd come in the shop. She was about 80, I'd say 83 or 4 years old, really pretty elderly. But she come in and her tongue was foul. It was terrible. And it would just singe it was terrible. It was from pits of, it wasn't good. So one day the Lord says, tell her, have a good day. That's, have a good day. And all the Lord wanted me to say is, have a good day. And she come up to me and says, what are you looking, what are you? I said, have a good day. What'd you say? I said, have a good day. And she went outside. She says, nobody in this world ever told me have a good day. She come back, what'd you say? I said, have a good day. See, God knew exactly what it was going to do to turn her on. I could have said, hey, you shouldn't say those things. She says, none of your business. You know, that's the way she found one of those kind of replies. So she come back in the next day, and she says, you know what? Why didn't you tell me to have a good day? I says, Lord told me to. She says, I knew it. She says, you're a man of God, aren't you? And I said, no, I'm not saying nothing that way. I said, yeah, I know the Lord. I really do. She says, well, you know, when I was a little girl, I loved the Lord. All these years, I've wanted Him, but it seemed like it always something crossed me, and everybody didn't want me around. But when you said, have a good day, it's like a light turned on to my whole. It wasn't the way of preaching. Actually, I've heard preachers preach. It wasn't that. But when you said, have a good day, it was like a something, and her whole life, folks, out there, her whole life changed. And she told everybody, says, look, this, my life changed because this man told me, have a good day, because I'm coming back to Jesus. He is my reason for my life. Her whole life changed. She told her grandkids, everybody, because it's what God wanted. If I could have done it any other way, and says, you know, like I said, I'm trying to find something in my head to say, no, it's real simple. Have a good day. Father said, oh, you know, you should, you, when's the last time you've been in church? It's none of your business. I could say a lot of things like that. You know, you should be a little more caring where you talk. Do you ever read the Bible? That's why I could say another thing. You know, Melton, she said, no, I don't read the Bible. But what I said was God directed. And out there today, it's not what you say, it's what God puts in your heart to say. It has that needs the anointing. But the anointing which you have received of Him abides in you, need not that any man teaches you, but that the same anointing teaches you His truth in all things. If we keep Him in His heart, God's going to anoint us. He'll help us. But the anointing which you have received of Him abides in you. The anointing of God, we need to keep that anointing in our lives available, because we don't know when some little lady, some little man is going to say, hey, God's going to say, have a good day. Oh, I got my little hand there in the door and I'm swearing. Well, that's okay. God will help you. See, that's something that's passed all over. It's not from the stand of the pulpit. There's a lot of other ministries. A girl's going to hit a tree. She's going to get killed unless you pray. Come and sing among all kinds of glorious things. Oh, up in the woods, they're going to be pine trees going to fall down their pickup if they're not right with God. But you're right with God. God says, stop. All these marvelous things happen. When I say stop today. Well, those things happen because a porcupine was in your yard. It got the attention of the policeman. It just got the attention of a lot of people. God has a purpose for these things, and we need to the purpose is us to be in touch with heaven. And God sees trying to do a work down here, and we're out of touch with heaven. That's what's wrong. You got the Bible, yeah, you read it, but you're out of touch from heaven. You're out of touch. You're out of sync. You're loaded with the Word. But the Bible says, the letter killed, the Spirit brings forth life. You need the Spirit of God alive in you. You need the power of God anointed that you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Be faithful and God will meet your need. God bless you all. Amen. Amen. God bless. Love you.
Amen and praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for that wonderful message. Amen.